Welcome to the Marriage Puzzle Podcast with Julie and Thomas Hobby. We are marriage coaches who help couples with pain points about money, intimacy, and communication go from being overwhelmed to being secure in their marriage.
If this is your first time listening to us, thanks for checking out our podcast. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a rating and a review. Let's dive into this episode.
Hello, we're so excited to be back on the podcast because it's been a good minute.
Yep.
If it's your first time listening to us, Thomas and I have 4 kids, so we're busy with, we've got one in karate, and basketball, and dance, and a little one. So, but we love jumping on here, and we've been still doing marriage coaching and even started premarital coaching, and so doing some sessions before somebody's, you know, big day, and then even continuing after. And one of those topics that we touch on specifically in premarital is finances. But we're like, this is something that we talk about all the time after even 17 years of marriage. So we wanted to bring some tips to you with this episode.
Yeah, it's definitely a sweet spot for us, something we really enjoy working with couples on. It's something that I wouldn't say we're even perfect at yet.
Yeah.
Like, we still hit our own bumps in the road from time to time, which
you may not arrive ever.
Yeah, I don't think you do, and I don't think that, you know, discredits us as coaches or anything. I think it actually shows that, you know, we still work through those same things. Mm-hmm. And you know, we're able, because that happens, we're able to coach other people through it. So we're going to actually just try to give some practical ways here tonight to help you either start working with your spouse, mm-hmm, on your finances, or to get better at it. Mm-hmm. So, and this, either starting or getting better at it could be, you know, whether you're newlyweds, whether you've been married for years and years. Maybe you haven't started, maybe you've been married for years and you haven't started working together with your spouse on this. So you're still starting kind of at square one in this area of your relationship. Or maybe it's just a pain point in your relationship. You know, you guys are constantly having friction around this. And so we'll give you some ways to get better at it.
Yeah, it's never too late to start the conversation. It's easier, like I said, we're bringing it up with newly engaged or newlyweds, but no matter how many years you have under your marriage, if you haven't really talked about this, like, it's never too late to start. Because in order for both of you to be happy with your finances, you both need to be involved.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest takeaway from this. And so that's what we're going to talk about, because it hasn't always been that way for us. Or, you know, Thomas, as either the man, doesn't have to be the man, but you were the numbers person and you just handled all that and it was fine until it wasn't. And
right,
it was like, hey, I might have some perspective or something, or want to be, you know, included. And so that's what we found. I'll say it again. In order for both of you to be happy with your finances, you both need to be involved.
Yeah. And involved is really the key word there. And that kind of takes us right into our first set of practical tips here, is play to your strengths in your relationship. Each of you has strengths, especially around this topic, just in life in general, of course. But when it comes to this, typically there's, you know, very distinct personalities in a marriage around finances. You're going to have typically one person who's the spender and one person who's the saver, or leans more one direction or the other.
Yeah.
And those people tend to find each other, which can create its own set of friction, its own element of friction, but it doesn't have to, mm-hmm, you know, because the saver can actually be the one to help prepare the couple for their own future.
Right.
But the spender is going to be the one that helps you have fun now.
Mm.
And so there's definitely strengths in both of those areas.
Thank you for saying that, because I'm the spender in our relationship. And not understanding that, first of all, we didn't know where the conflict was coming from at first, or I didn't. And then, okay, yeah.
The conflict was coming from Target.
Yeah.
That's where it was coming from.
It's so true. Oh, man. And so now I lost my train of thought with that because I'm like, guilty, guilty. But then, yeah, I was actually going to say that then it brought a lot of guilt and shame. And I'm like, I don't know what to do with this. I like retail therapy, you know? It's like, and so learning that's like, no, it's okay. I can still be a tendency to spend and your tendency is to save. And instead of seeing the conflict and the opposites, like you said, what are the strengths of that we can benefit each other and kind of balance each other out in that regard?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think you said it was bringing conflict and shame, but like it wasn't necessarily the shopping that was bringing that. It was the fact that we weren't working on it together.
Yeah.
We weren't both involved at that time.
Mm-hmm. And so the talks were always after the fact of like me feeling like I was getting in trouble.
What did you do kind of a situation.
I'm like, but what? I saved so much. Let's not talk about what I spent.
Yeah, don't even bring that. Like my least favorite sentence of all time. Yeah.
But you're right. We've come a long way in the discussions where now I do know my boundaries or what, you know, we both agreed to that I can have that freedom and no shame and stuff. Because, yeah, the conversations are happening before versus after. So,
and again, both being involved means both of you are setting those boundaries. You use the word boundaries, and I'm sure there's people who are just cringing,
right.
Like, oh, I can't allow my spouse to create boundaries for me when I want to go spend. And that's not what the point is. The point is to set those boundaries so you know how much freedom you have. To set those boundaries together, let me rephrase that, so that you know how much freedom you have to be a spender.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, the saver is going to help protect your future, and the spender is going to help you have fun now.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's strengths to both of those sides. And if you don't utilize both, if you don't set those boundaries together to protect the spender from themselves, then the future is going to be a little more grim in most cases. However, on the other side, if you don't put those boundaries in place to allow yourself some freedom, everything is going to be so restricted now because the saver is going to want to put everything away.
And that can come with resentment and things that aren't healthy as well.
And missed opportunities
to
have fun, to do things, to experience life, and to even take part in like your spouse's love language. If your spouse's love language is gifts and you're the spender, that's easy for you. But if you are always restricted and not allowing yourself to have some freedom, not allowing yourselves as a couple to have some freedom and do those things, then you're not even going to be able to do something simple like that.
Yeah.
So second part of this is typically one person enjoys the numbers or maybe doesn't enjoy it, but is just better at it, naturally gravitates towards it, and someone who doesn't and play to those strengths as well, that's going to make it a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, second set of practical tips here that we want to go through is starting off with having a budget meeting. This is an absolute must. And we recommend a minimum of one time per month. Monthly is typically that reset option.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of how often you get paid, the first of a new month is always kind of that reset in your finances. The bills usually only come around once a month, so it's kind of a nice cutoff to kind of start everything fresh.
Mm-hmm.
And so going back to the last one where we talked about, you know, there's one person who typically enjoys the numbers and one person who doesn't, utilizing that of your strengths would mean for the budget meeting, the person who enjoys the numbers is going to be the one to kind of prepare the budget, set the initial boundaries, so to speak. But then the person who is less attracted to the numbers is going to still speak into that.
Yeah.
You have to speak into that because that's where you're going to gain your ownership and that's where you're going to assist in setting the boundaries. You're not just going to agree to it and say, yep, sure, whatever you think, because then that allows that situation of permission mm-hmm. to come into play, like permission to spend, where you have to seek permission to be able to spend something. But if you speak into it at the top level in the budget meeting, you're going to naturally have that permission because you've spoken into it. You have the ownership of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely plan ahead for this though. So the spouse who isn't in the numbers isn't like, doesn't feel ambushed, you know, like if I had a long day and I just talked about four kids and like all this, and then you know Thomas comes at me and is like, oh, we're over budget this month, or like that, like wait, what? But I you know, I'm like panic, you know. But if it's, you know, you said once a month budget meeting, it should already be on the calendar then. Mm-hmm. And so that's prepared for it. The person's, you know, coming to that meeting prepared. The person who's just kind of showing up for the information, they are prepared mentally as well, or should be. And if this is something you're not yet doing, we definitely recommend that you set a time limit. So if it's once a month, it might be 30 minutes to start. And you're not going to solve everything.
And that might be long.
Yeah, I know. It might be, and you're definitely not going to solve everything in 30 minutes if this is the first time you've talked about money or budget or these, I hate to use the word boundaries again, but, you know, these agreed upon mm-hmm. discussions. But you'd still need to stop it after 30 minutes because, you know, the person, there might be one of you that loves this and keeps going and going and going. And
that's you're just gonna,
so then I'll speak to that. You're going to completely overwhelm like a personality that's more like me of like, whoa, I don't want to come to these meetings now. Mm-hmm. Like if I'm going to feel like this or not understand or I don't, then, you know, I might say I don't care. But just, okay, this was just a, you know, quick overview. We'll meet again next month. This is what we're going to be talking about. And then do it again and do it again and do it again. Because what, it takes like 3 months maybe to, if you haven't set a budget,
mm-hmm.
what is it?
Yeah. If you haven't set a budget, you really need to give yourselves 3 months of like grace and room for mistakes mm-hmm. and room to tweak things in future months because you're not going to get it right the first time around. You're always going to forget something. You're always going to misjudge how much you're going to spend on something. Food is the most common one, you know, like you're going to see yourselves come to the table and be like, oh yeah, we spend $300 a month on food. And then when you check it at the end of the month, it was like, oh, we spend $1,200 a month on food. That's a little bit different. Yeah. And so you have to find that room. So give yourselves a solid 3 months to kind of get in a groove of actually being, feeling successful with the budget, mm-hmm. feeling like you're making progress with the budget. And then you should also be in a pretty good groove of like the budget planning meeting in that 3 months as well. I think in the beginning, like I think it's perfect what you said about having a time limit on the meeting. That needs to be the case for every meeting, like set it on your calendar. I would add like give a little bit of grace, a few minutes, allow someone to finish their thought, you know, yeah. something like that. 5-10 minutes, like if you're planning on 30 minutes, give 5 or 10 minutes of grace. But after that, you really do need to be wrapping up. The person who's preparing the budget needs to try to wrap it up as close to that time limit as possible. Because what's going to happen is if you go too long and you go past that grace period that your spouse gives you, then you're going to start losing their trust and it's going to be even harder to have them interested in the next meeting because mm-hmm. they're like, wow, I already didn't want to do this. This really isn't my thing. And you talked to me for longer than we had scheduled for. Next time it's just going to go even longer. And then it's just going to be back to the frustrating situation mm-hmm. again. So maintain your spouse's trust and try and finish it right on time if possible.
But you can make it fun, like show up with snacks, yeah. you know, like it's not a full on date night, but it's more of the business meeting for your marriage. But like what's going to get you to that table excited with popcorn, candy,
naked spouse?
Oh boy.
Hey,
wasn't expecting
just
that.
Saying,
I don't think you'd talk about money.
For some people, maybe that gets their spouse to the table. I don't know. I'm just throwing ideas
maybe
out.
That's the reward
all.
After 30 minutes.
And if you're already naked, then it's going to be an easy transition, right? Am I wrong?
I don't know.
Surely there's someone out there who's going to try that now. Oh. Go for it.
Well, number three. On that note.
Third set of practical tips here. The first two, you know, playing to your strengths and having a budget meeting don't matter if you don't do this one. Those were all in vain if you don't do this one. This one is track your expenses. If you don't track your expenses, your second budget meeting is going to be worthless because you're not going to know how to tweak it. It doesn't matter. The one who is more drawn to the numbers or who enjoys the numbers or however that fits in your relationship is probably going to be the one who's tracking the expenses. Maybe neither of you enjoys the numbers, but one of you is like more organized. That might be you that's tracking the expenses, something like that. So figure out your strengths, figure out who's going to be better at this. And maybe it's both of you in some way. It's not that way in our relationship, and that's okay. But maybe in some aspect of your relationship, that's both of you. You just have to figure that out as you go, who's going to be better at keeping up with this. But yeah, the one who is more drawn to it is probably going to be the one who's tracking the expenses. And I would recommend tracking expenses every day or so it doesn't get piled up on you. But at a minimum of once a week, like if you're just going to sit down for an hour once a week and track and figure out where everything went for that week, totally fine. Give your spouse those, you know, it's okay to like give them those touch points along the way without having a meeting. Like, don't ambush them, but you know, it's okay to be like, hey, just so you know, you know, we're in the third week of the month. We've spent this much on food. So like if your spouse is the one who does the grocery shopping, giving them that information as you go is okay, as long as you're not turning it into another meeting and ambushing them. Mm-hmm. So that's okay to provide them with information, but, you know, don't make it discouraging or make it like it's their fault or anything like that. But yeah. If you feel like you need to have more of a conversation around it, plan that extra conversation out too.
And this isn't in our notes, but I did want to add kind of how we have our like fun money, because mm-hmm. we're really, really big on combining your finances. That's a whole nother maybe topic for another day if that's foreign to you. But when you become one in marriage, you know, it's no longer Thomas's money and Julie's money. It's our money. Mm-hmm. But we stand by that, but when you're saying like tracking expenses and stuff, there was a time that opened up that it can feel a little bit more like controlling, or, you know, like I lost the freedom and I am more of that spender. So something we've put in the budget is like Julie's fun money and Thomas's fun money. And it is then a little bit of a set monthly budget that then I can spend on whatever I see fit for fun. Mm-hmm. If coffee's not in the budget, then maybe that is my, you know, coffee splurge or getting my nails done or what, shopping, mm-hmm. whatever is your, you know, definition of fun. But yeah, I just wanted to throw that tip in there. If that is something that's like, oh, we do a budget and I don't love it and I don't have this, you know, freedom, like consider adding a set amount for each spouse. We kind of done that now for kids. Like kids have needs and then we've have this like kid wants mm-hmm. budget line item that, okay, you know, we didn't have to like justify everything, so we can have some of that fun for each person in the family. So
yeah, and tracking your expenses along the way is gonna allow you to have those smaller touch points. I mentioned that a minute ago, but there's going to be transactions that come up that you just don't know about or don't know what they were. I guarantee you this hits every single person's budget that's listening to this. Amazon is going to be one yeah. that you see hit your bank account and it literally just says Amazon. And if your spouse is the one who typically orders the stuff, you're not going to know what, you know, a $13 purchase was from Amazon versus an $87 purchase from Amazon. And so you're going to have to, you know, check in with them, find a system that works for you. If that means they screenshot it and text it to you or email it to you, so when you do the transactions each week, you've got the answer. Great. That's fine. If you just want to look at it, then maybe that's a way for the two of you to come together each week and say, hey, can you tell me what this was? Can you tell me what this was? And not as like an interrogation, but just totally informative. That's absolutely fine. So figure out those systems for yourself where you can do that. But additionally, be aware that some transactions may need to be split into multiple categories in your budget. Going to, you know, Target could be a great example. Mm-hmm. Maybe you bought clothes for the kids and you bought groceries in the same receipt.
Yeah.
You're going to have to manually split that out into your budget if you don't make two separate purchases for it. but you're going to have to manually split that out so that you can actually get it to the right spots on the budget. Otherwise, your budget's going to be skewed and you don't want that to happen.
Cool.
So yeah. Have those touch points along the way. Have a budget meeting, track your expenses, and play to your strengths.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks for hanging out with us again. Hopefully this information is helpful to you and your spouse. When we launched the Marriage Puzzle podcast, we knew we were going to cover lots of topics. We read books or, you know, just have ideas that pop in that we create content for, but our top three that we always come back to is it's going to be money, intimacy, and communication. So you can follow us if you're not already on social media at Marriage Puzzle, or even book a free discovery call with us where you can jump on a Zoom call. You can book that at marriagepuzzle.com, and we offer coaching in this area as well as lots of other topics for your marriage. So we'd love to talk with you, and join us next time. We'll see you later.
Have a good one.